Hey guys, it is getting to that time of year. It is almost Christmas time, and we're starting to see the ads and the infomercials, and I don't know if you're paying attention, but they're out there, and just as happens every year, but I think even a little more this year, they're amping up. And so too are medical options and the diet centers, of course, fitness centers. It's all coming at you. New infomercial devices, new made-up names of technologies, blenders being sold as some kind of super device that extracts antioxidants from vegetables when really they're just simply blenders. It's all happening now. And as we spoke about on some prior calls, you have an opportunity to really capitalize on it. But I think what you capitalize on is the vulnerability of America. And I don't mean that you should take advantage of their vulnerability. I think you capitalize on pointing it out. I think you say to people, whoa, stop, stop. Everybody's lying to you. I got a call from a guy who came to two seminars of mine, both years ago, you know, one a couple of years ago and maybe 2 years before that. So he's one of these failure to launch guys. You know, I'm going to do it. Well, anyway, he called me and he was frantic. And he just started. And when I tell you he was graphic, he was describing his naked body to me in ways I didn't want to hear. And I kept going, Joseph, stop. You're grossing me out, man. Like, I'm going to hang up. He's telling me what he looks like in his boxer shorts and horrible, horrible things. He's describing his body. Listen, I don't want to hear anymore. I understand you're unhappy with your body. So let's talk about what we're going to do about it. He goes, well, that's why I'm calling. He goes, I'm ready to do the Al Roker thing. The what? Because the surgery, the Al Roker thing, you know, because I know a guy, he lost 50 pounds and looks great. You know, he looks great. And I want to do that. But my wife said I shouldn't because she said they really change the way you eat and that you really kind of struggle for a while. So I don't want to do that because I don't think I have the willpower. So she also told me that there's something called the Master Cleanse that Jennifer Aniston used and Jake Gyllenhaal used to get in shape for his movie, and I think I want to do that. So I wanted your opinion. And he was just rambling, and I go, stop, 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 and he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop. He's just telling me more and more and more, which one should he do? Should he do the surgery or should he do the Master Cleanse? And I said, Joseph, you are putty. And he misunderstood what I meant. And he goes, Phil, call me anything you want. I know, I'm a fat slob. And I go, no, I'm not calling you a derogatory name. I'm saying you're putty. Any advertiser, marketer, anyone who wants to sell you something right now, whether they're selling you surgery or a diet, you're putty in their hands. You got to get off of this. You got to stop. And you got to grab some sensibility. But I think that this man is representative of so many people and what they're going through right now. And I think that's your opportunity is to say to them, stop, you're putty. You know, don't fall for this crazy stuff. We've got solutions. But if you're hearing that there's a miracle solution or a new solution or a breakthrough solution or an ancient solution, they're lying to you. So that's the opportunity that you guys have right now. And I really hope it's not too late right now to take advantage of it. So I hope at some level you will act on that. Because once we get into January, you know, it goes back to life as usual, and everybody goes, now it's January, people want to get in shape. This is the time that you can capture people's attention. Now, as we head toward January, I think we start to think in a different direction. We start to think of the year ahead, and we go, okay, what do we want this year? What do we want this year? And I would ask all of you to seriously consider that, and I would ask you to want for something better. What? That's up to you. But I'm sure that there's something in your life that you'd like to see improve. Your business, your income, your living situation, your savings, something. Time you spend with your family, the balance or lack of balance in your life. And I want you to really think that now in this year, 2016, you can have that. You can have that if you're willing to use your power. We've spoken quite a bit about the concept of willpower, and everybody has will. It's just, are you willing to exert your power over that thing that we call will? And I'm not talking about just a frivolous New Year's resolution. I'm talking about looking ahead and saying, what do I really want to change in this year ahead? Because now's the time that you can decide that. Is the decision enough? No, of course not. Is the decision and action enough? No, because there are things that can get in your way. So I know someone who is very smart. She is a fantastic writer. If she puts posts on Facebook, that really just should be in stone. She's a really, really good writer. I would say in terms of fitness, she's in the top 1% of our population. She is kind. She is loyal. And she is extremely empathetic. She's extremely empathetic. Not pathetic, empathetic. She is what we would call an empath. She's an empath. She takes on the pain of other people. It's not a clinical condition, but it is in fact a personality type. And in our field, most of the people who are drawn to this field are altruists. We want to see people get better. And in that, we try to understand their pain. And if you are an empath, you're at risk. So let me go back to this woman I know. I'm inclined to say her name, but I won't. She has what I'll call a comfort threshold. She wants things. She will clearly articulate what she wants. She wants independence. She wants her own place without a roommate. She wants a six-figure income. She wants the ability to travel. She wants to own her own business and have that support her. And she is capable of achieving and sustaining every single one of those things, but she doesn't. Now think about that. She knows what she wants. She's capable of it, but she doesn't. She touches each one. She kind of goes for it and starts to make progress, and then she crashes and burns. Do you know anybody like that? Are there times you do that in your own life? Here's what I want. Here's what I have to do to get there. I'm taking a step. I'm taking a step. I'm taking a step. Suddenly I'm crashing and burning. And I'll tell you this. I love her, and she frustrates me. Because you've all given your energy and attention to people who need it and will benefit from it. And when they do benefit, you feel good. It was a good investment. But when they don't benefit because they don't listen or they change courses, well, then you just kind of get a little frustrated, and I'm frustrated. So I try to play a role in coaching this woman forward, and I have more than once. And I will say in doing it, I'm pretty effective. But as soon as I create some distance, as soon as I back away, she falls. Now, I can blame monsters, because I think whenever somebody fails to achieve a goal, it's either an over-restrictive EEM, an underactive PFC, or the four monsters. So I can blame monsters. She procrastinates. She's distracted. But there's one in particular. There's one monster that causes that fall, that causes that crash and burn condition. And that monster is negative talk. And every empath is extremely vulnerable to negative talk. So I want you to take a look at yourself, because you are trainers who approach the world with your heart first. You care about people. You really do care. You want to see them change for the better. Now, not every human being is like that, but you are. And that puts you in the category of an empath. Now, are you a severe empath or just a little bit in that area? I want you to think about it, because the empath is extremely vulnerable to negative talk. Where does the negative talk initiate? Well, in this woman I'm telling you about, it comes from the people in her life. Her influences are a sister who is bipolar and at times suicidal, a mother who has been in some very bad relationships and is very needy, a friend who's into drugs and dabbles in the occult and weird things, and another friend who it turns out is involved in some highly illegal activities. So those are her influences. Has she chosen them as influences? No, not consciously. But at some level, she's attracted to these people. Why? Why is she attracted to these people? Well, the mom and the sister, they were sort of a gift of her birth, right? She didn't make that choice. But the other two, they share traits with the mom and the sister. They're all needy. They're all cynical. They're all experiencing gloom. They're all victims. And they all spread negative talk. And if you surround yourself with those people, if you are an empath, you are dead in the water. And I'm realizing this about so many personal trainers who I've seen go through this process of a little bit of achievement, a little bit of achievement, a little bit of, and then they crash and burn. And I don't mean just a step backwards. I mean a crash and burn where it all just seems to fall apart. They start to build it again and build it again. It all seems to fall apart. And when we take a look at the talk that's going on inside their head, that's where the monster resides. But the monster got into their head from the outside. If you are empathetic, you are vulnerable to the negative talk monster. So in the year ahead, I want you to change, and I want you to get whatever you decide that you want to change. You decide what the change is. You decide what the change should be. I'll just guide you there. But in order to set yourself up for positive growth, for exceeding any of your previous limits, you have to change the voices that come at you. Not only the voices that are inside, but the voices that come at you. And if you're an empath, you're very vulnerable. So today, I'm going to, in a brief call that I hope will stay with you in terms of the message for a very long time, I want to give you the solution to crushing the negative talk monster. And it takes two of the heroes, discipline and focus. But I want you to understand what I mean by empath. There was a time the USS Enterprise had to go to Minara 2, the planet, to pick up a few research scientists because a star out there was becoming a supernova and it was going to explode and kill all life forms on that planet. Captain Kirk, it's a true story, I know, I saw it on TV. Captain Kirk, Dr. McCoy, and Spock beamed down to the planet to try to find the research scientists because they weren't responding to calls. They wanted to get them off the planet before the planet blew up, and they couldn't find these guys. So they beam down, and they find the research lab, but the scientists are missing. So now here's Kirk and McCoy and Spock on this alien planet. They can't find the scientists, and then the Enterprise is bombarded by solar radiation and has to leave Minerva's orbit. So now Kirk and McCoy and Spock are stranded. And that's when it gets interesting because they're suddenly teleported. So if you watch Star Trek, they just kind of do and they sort of disappear and then they appear somewhere else. And you think they're going back to the ship, but they're not. They're somehow brought into a underground cave. It's a chamber underground on this planet. And there, as Kirk always happens to find, he finds a beautiful woman. She doesn't speak, but she is incredibly beautiful. And McCoy decides that we're going to call her Jem. Well, we come to find out that Jem is being held prisoner. She's being held prisoner of this alien race. And this alien race attacks Kirk, beats him up, tortures him, and then they send Jem into the room. And all of a sudden, she starts to feel his pain, and she starts to take on his bruises, and he suddenly feels better. And Jem comes from a race called empaths. Now, I remember that. Of course, there was an episode of Star Trek, but I remember that because it was fascinating. It was this concept of this being who could take away your pain, but the problem was she took it on. And what I want to tell you, as abstract as that story may be, and if you search, you could probably find that Star Trek episode somewhere about Jem the empath, it really is what a lot of personal trainers do. They take on other people's pain, not consciously, but they do it because they're surrounded by it, and they want to listen, and they want to help, and they want to guide people, and then they create this sort of anchor where now the person feels like they could lay all their problems on them, and they take those problems on. And that is the reason for so many personal trainers who go through the crash and burn. Because negative talk comes from the outside and gets into their head and then becomes cyclical. It becomes worry. Worry, if you remember, is simply a thought set in motion that repeats cyclically. It goes again and again and again and again. So when you're surrounded by people who are speaking of the negativity, the risk, the danger, how bad the environment is, how bad the economy is, what's going on in the Middle East, and all they talk about is this gloom and woe, You take it on. Some of the happiest people I know, by the way, are people who don't watch TV and don't pay attention to the news. I don't say that's right. Maybe there should be a level of awareness, but in terms of their happiness, I think it's important to shut out negative talk, no matter who you are. But if you're an empath, more important to shut out negative talk. So, in a sense, the personal trainers who care most about their clients are like Jem, the alien, the empath. You take on their pain. You don't see it as bruises, but inside, that's what happens. The voice inside your head says, pain, this hurts, life sucks, things are bad. The woman that I told you about in real life is Jem. I mean, she does that. She takes on other people's pain, and in that, she weakens. The voice in her head becomes cyclical. And when that voice becomes cyclical, why should she achieve independence, prosperity, and success? That doesn't seem right because all those around her are suffering, right? If she really cares and her mom is suffering and her sister is suffering and her friend who takes drugs is suffering and her other friend who does illegal stuff is suffering and she's driven by her heart and her negative talk will team up to say, it's wrong for you to succeed. You don't deserve it. Why should you have that? Now, it isn't conscious. It's deep, but it's real. The challenge in trying to protect an empath is this. They can only be protected by a voice stronger than the voice of those in pain. When an empath is married to a pessimist, you can be sure that empath will suffer. And because personal trainers tend to want to help people in need, they tend to hear the voices of pain. So the only way to protect them is to bring on a voice that is louder, a voice that is stronger, a voice that is more compelling in their mind than everything they're hearing. So when I talk about this friend, this woman who I know, and I would like to protect her, there are limits to how far I'm willing to go. I mean, I believe if I moved in with her, she would become highly successful. But it's not going to happen. Number one, I have no interest in moving in with her. And number two, it would drain me. So how do we help her and others like her? And when I say others like her, I'm talking to you guys. I am. I think everyone here is an empath. I think you care deeply about other people, and I think you've been limited by that. Now, I don't want you to stop caring. I certainly don't want you to stop caring. But remember what I said. The way to protect yourself is to find a voice that is stronger. Lately, as you know, I've been speaking to health practitioners of all sorts, all kinds, chiropractors and doctors. And in that group, I find a lot of empaths, and I see the similarity. I see them suffering. Do they need to be? No. But they're going through pain. Do they have little victories? Yeah, but are they where they want to be? No. They have lots of buts and can'ts. Where do they come from? The negative talk monster. So there needs to be a voice louder. And maybe that's why they connect with me. Maybe that's why they come to my events and they listen to me and they join my groups. It's because maybe I can be that voice at times. But I'm not enough. I'm not enough. So what do these people need? The same things every business leader needs. Right now, I'm working with a team to build an advisory board for a medical organization. I am very excited about what we're going to create. I think it's going to change the landscape of medicine. I think everything I've been through has led me to this place. But the step that I'm at in developing this right now is building an advisory board. We need an advisory board. I need an advisory board. If I'm going to really get out there and change the landscape of medicine, well, A, nobody's given me the right to do that. B, I'm not even in my own playing field. I'm not a doctor. C, I can talk about research, but I'm not a researcher. So how can I do this? Only by bringing on an advisory board. So I am connecting with doctors, pharmacologists, psychologists, biochemists, research scientists, and I'm putting together an advisory board. Because every business owner needs to have voices that help steer. I believe every business or every business owner should have the benefits of an advisory board. And these aren't people you hire. I'm not hiring these people. These are people that you know and invite into your life. So I'm going to tell you right now, today, the five people that you have to invite into your life. And this is my promise to you. If you take this seriously, if you've identified with anything I've said, you go, yeah, I am an empath and people have taken advantage of me and I have let myself fall because of what others said and I have compromised my career, my integrity, my income because of what other people said and I have carried the voice of other people in my head and I have been overly concerned by what people think of me, if you can connect with that at any level, you are an empath. And if you are an empath and you want to be protected, I'm telling you this, you need to connect with these five people. So I really hope that if this is resonating with you at all, you go the next step and do exactly that, connect with these five people. The first one is a connector. You've got to have a connector. I can't tell you the person's name. It's up to you to find them. But I bet you know them. It is somebody in your circle, somebody who you have some connection with. You know, if you look at LinkedIn and it tells you if it's like a one or two or third generation person you're connected with, you've got the connector somewhere. And the connector is somebody who brings you to other people with the right mindset, connects you with other people. I've been lucky to have those people in my life. I believe I'm a connector for many people. I bring introductions. Just yesterday, two people I'm friendly with, one I did business with years ago, who I love very much, I brought the two of them together for lunch because I just thought they should know each other. And I think something great will come from it. Well, I think you need to find that connector who's going to recognize your traits and your virtues and see the good in not only you, but the good in connecting you with other people they know. Somebody who is influential, somebody who oozes positivity and can connect you with like-minded people. I don't mean like-minded to you. I mean like-minded to them. Oozes positivity. Chamber of Commerce is not the ideal place for that. Chamber of Commerce is synthetic. Everybody's paying money to meet other people so they can promote their business. There's a selfish agenda. I'm talking about find one person in your life who knows a lot of people. Years ago, quite by accident, I befriended Eliyahu, who is a rabbi. Never had a rabbi friend before. He's connected me to so many people. He oozes positivity. He's very wise. But he consults with some very, very high-level people, and he's connected me. He's invited me to lunch with people that I was so blown away by. You need that connector. Because otherwise you get sucked in by the voices that are loudest. And if you're creating a universe where you're surrounded by your clients, your employees, and your relatives who are in pain, then you're going to be limited. You've got to find the connector. So think about that. Do you know that person now? And if you do, as soon as we finish this call, make a phone call. Just say, let's go to breakfast. And you don't have to do anything formal other than keep them in the loop. Talk to them once a week. Because if you choose the right person, they will connect you with other positive people. And you'll completely change your circle of influence and with that, the voice in your head. I said there are five, that's one. The second is a committed listener. A committed listener. I'm not talking about a salesperson who listens because they want to use what you tell them to close them. I mean somebody who is really committed to keep their mouth shut until you stop telling what you need to tell. And I don't mean a psychologist who you pay. And I don't even mean somebody who is extremely empathetic. It may or may not be. But I mean somebody who understands the art of listening. I love to listen. I've met so many people. I mean, I have met a lot of people on airplanes because, you know, for me, I mean, you're sitting next to one, maybe two people for an hour or 4 hours or 6 hours, depending where you're going, or even longer than that. When I get off a flight, I feel like I really got to know that person and they feel like they really got to know me. But you know what? They hardly know anything about me. Not because I'm secretive, just because I'm really listening to what they tell me. I listen to their stories. I can tell you a lot of personal things about everyone I sit next to on an airplane because I'm a committed listener. You've got to find that committed listener, but it's not enough for them to listen. There's another trait that has to be present. That committed listener has to be willing to hold up the mirror, not literally hold up a mirror, but figuratively. Hold up the mirror and confront your buts and can'ts. I told you, all empaths have buts and can'ts when they're hearing the voice of negativity. Yeah, I would really, I said I'd like to get rid of my roommate and live by myself, but I'm just not making enough money. I'd like to make more money, but I'm really committed to this place. I'd like to leave this place, but it's such a short drive from my house. That is what happens from those negative voices that come at you from clients who are in pain, from people who are in pain. So you need a committed listener who will point that out to you, who's going to hear what you're saying, who's going to listen to what you're saying and just bring it up and go, listen, let me play back what you just said to me. Let me show you your inconsistencies. Because if you are an empath suffering with negative talk, I promise you, you are incongruent. Some of the things you say contradict some of the other things you say. Because the want of your heart is conflicted by the negative voice in your head. I want to be healthy, but I'm going out partying tonight. Okay, let me show you a little bit of a contradiction here. Partying means what? I'll probably have some drinks. How many? 7 or 8. How are you going to feel tomorrow? Not hungover and miserable. Okay, so, but you want to be healthy. Yeah, but I want to go drinking tonight. You need somebody who's going to go, I want you to hear what you're saying. I want you to get it. I want to make money so I can have financial security, but I want to buy expensive shit I don't need. Now, they don't say it in those words, but the committed listeners can identify that. You're not making enough money to make you feel fulfilled, but you're going to buy expensive shit you don't need. I want to be independent, but I have to stay at my job. Incongruent. Man, I hear it all the time. I've heard that one for years with personal trainers. You know, I'm a part-time trainer. As soon as I make enough money, I'm going to leave my job. But I can't leave my job till I make enough money. How would you ever make enough money if you're stuck in a job that's limiting what they pay you and you don't have time to build your personal training business? Somewhere there has to be the leap. But the empath surrounded by negativity doesn't make the leap. So here are two people you need to get in your life if you want to really get the change that you would like. If you want it to really happen for you in 2016, you need a connector and you need a committed listener who is willing to confront you. If you have those people, great. If you don't, find them. Where do you find them? Now, when I ask that question in front of a group, the first thing they say, Facebook. I go, no. That's not where you find them. Might you get lucky and find them on Facebook? Yeah, but they're in the world. They're not in the virtual world. I am telling you, our society is really becoming so broken because people are getting so far away from people. These fake friendships. You know, I have 5,000 Facebook friends. And if I died tomorrow, they would all put posts, RIP, sorry, so sad. But then their life goes on. They're not your friends. They're not your friends. They're the distraction monster. That's what they are. So I'm talking about in the real world. Find the connector. Find the committed listener who's willing to confront you. Don't fear that. You need that. The third person you want to meet is a catalyst. We call ourselves health catalysts, catalysts for change, because we can change people's health. And we know we can do that. Well, you need your own catalyst. Because if you're looking to change something for the year ahead, some catalyst can help you do that. You want to make a change. That's what a catalyst does. So the listener is important. But the listener who is willing to confront you isn't usually the one who initiates change. They'll point out your inconsistencies. They'll go, do you see what you're doing? Do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear the but? Do you hear the can't? Do you see the contradiction? I want to be fit, but I'm not going to work out. Do you hear the contradiction? So a catalyst is more than just somebody who will point out the contradiction. The catalyst is somebody who initiates change. Think about this. The committed listener is quite likely an empath. So although they may be positive, they may not be strong enough because they're listening to your buts and cans and they're pointing them out. But your voice is strong to them. So you need the catalyst who is not necessarily an empath. You need someone who can prompt change, someone who can get you out of your comfort zone, someone who can say, come on, you're being ridiculous, do it. Someone who can tell you what to do. Someone who can change the station your brain is listening to. I try to be these things to the people in my life, but I'll tell you this. I have people in my life who are these things to me. And I think everybody should have this. And now that I've identified it, I'm sharing it with you because it is the secret to killing negative talk. Choose the voices that penetrate your head. Choose the voices that get through your ear into your brain. And here's who you want. You want the connector. You want the committed listener. And you want the catalyst. The fourth, I said there are five. The fourth is an accountability partner. I was doing a presentation, I'm going to guess close to 2 years ago now. And in the presentation was a doctor from Atlanta and a doctor from Minnesota. There were many other people. But I remember these two because we created in that group accountability partners. And the assignment was you need to check in with each other once a week for 10 minutes. Because in that seminar we spoke about making some change and having that accountability partner. And what I want to tell you is the one doctor went from $20,000 a month in revenues to $120,000 a month in revenues. The other doctor climbed similarly. They stayed with that accountability partner for the entirety of those 2 years. I asked them to do it for a month. They stayed with it. You need somebody who's going to hold you accountable. You know, we've spoken about the power of the public statement. When somebody thinks, I'm going to quit smoking, and then they light a cigarette, nobody says anything because nobody knew they made this decision, which wasn't really a decision. But if you tell everyone, I'm going to quit smoking, now you're going to light a cigarette and somebody pulls it out of your mouth. What are you doing? I thought you quit. You need that person to pull the cigarette out of your mouth. Now, I know you're not going to smoke, but this is the accountability. Somebody who will hold you to what you say. I want to be in my own business. Okay. So your accountability partner is going to say, what do you have to do? I've got to first raise my rates to $100 a session, and I have to get 6 clients. 3 weeks later, that person goes, what are your rates? And they go, $65. They got to go, whoa. No. You're not doing what you said. You've got to raise them. But, you got to raise them. You said you got to raise them. You need that voice because eventually the voice becomes yours in your head. It's just got to start from the outside. So you can choose somebody in this group as an accountability partner. It shouldn't be a client, though. Accountability partner also means you serve each other, which is beautiful because you give and receive. And then comes the fifth and the last. And I really believe, I am certain, it goes beyond I really believe, I am certain that if you bring these five people into your life in the next month, your 2016 will be far beyond anything you expect right now. And especially if you identified with what I said about being an empath. If you're willing to look at your life in retrospect and say, I could have, but I didn't. I should have, but I didn't. And when you start to explore that, you look at all of the people who put voices in your head that discouraged you. And I'm telling you, it's not enough to block those people because the voices are already in your head. What you've got to do is get stronger voices. And if you bring these five people in, They contribute to the change of the voice in your head. They contribute to the change in mindset. They contribute to the change in actions, and they contribute to the change in outcome. And the fifth one is a mentor. Not 25 mentors. You know, I know there are people who sign up for all these programs, and they go, oh, this is my mentor. No, it's not. Someone who sold you a program. A mentor is somebody who really takes an interest in teaching you and seeing you grow. A mentor is somebody who's been to a place you want to be and is sharing their experience. I had the greatest mentor of all. I did. I cannot express how thankful I am for being mentored by Joe Weider. It was an absolute gift. I met Joe Weider when he hired me. He actually subscribed to my newsletter years ago, before the internet was really an internet. I put out a newsletter called the Health and Wealth Newsletter. And I started selling it for $49, and I had a few subscribers. And then I started kind of thinking about value, and I raised the rate to $249, and I just made it two more pages. And all of a sudden, I wound up with over 1,000 subscribers, and one of them was Joe Weider. And I might have told you this, I never cashed the check. It was a personal check for $249 from Joe Weider, and I kept it. And that's how I came to know that he knew of me. And then I got a phone call one day, please hold for Joe Weider. And suddenly Joe Weider's on the phone. And he goes, Phil, listen, I need you out here. I go, where? He goes, I need you to come out to California. I got a consulting job for you. I said, okay. When? Can you come out tomorrow? Yeah. I got on the phone with Peggy, his assistant. She booked me a flight. I was so nervous, awed. I didn't even ask what I'm going to do or how much I'm going to get paid. And I wanted to call back, but I can't call Joe Weider. So I went out there, and he explained to me what was going on. There was a consultant who came into his company and convinced him to open a franchise. And it was Weider Health Clubs. And they opened one in Arizona, one in Canada, and one somewhere up north. There were three. And it wasn't going well. Financially, it wasn't going well. I saw the pictures. They were beautiful clubs, high-end equipment. So the next day, I found myself on a plane. I went to Tempe, flew into Phoenix. I went to Tempe, Arizona, and I visited the facility. And I figured out the flaw, figured out what was wrong, and I came back. And that's how I met Joe Weider. So, you know, it was a gift. It was maybe a series of accidents, but he wound up becoming a very good friend. And it was nothing I loved more than, you know, going out to his house in the morning. We'd sit in his backyard, him and I, eat breakfast and talk. And he would tell me, he was a genius. I mean, amazing, amazing how educated he was, how self-read he was. He knew everything about history. I mean, forget about what he knew about marketing and about nutrition. He sat in those meetings in his backyard for no reason other than to teach me. He liked me. He liked to teach me. He saw some of himself in me. It was a true gift. And he did shape my life in many, many, many ways. And my only regret in my relationship with Joe Weider is that I never brought Brooke to meet him, because when she was born, and, you know, he was very aware of the difficulties I was having in my marriage, and Amy used to come out, and we would go to dinner together with his wife, Betty, and we'd go to restaurants, and we'd eat in their house. But he was very aware of what was going on. And when Brooke was two, I got separated from Amy, and I used to go out to California every month. And I'd go, when Brooke's older, I'm going to bring her to meet you. I can't wait for you to meet her. I can't wait for you to meet her. And Joe Weider passed about a year and a half ago at 92 years old and never met Brooke. So, you know, I'm left with that regret. But I went off on a tangent. The point is, he taught me. He taught me so much. He taught me simple lessons. He taught me you could have the best product in the world, but if you don't market it, you're going to fail. You could have the worst product in the world, but if you market it well, you're going to make money. He taught me things that stayed with me. He taught me things that I teach you. He opened my eyes to better learning. I started to perceive things very differently. He never imitated anyone. He grew up very poor in Montreal. And he became very into fitness and strength, and not necessarily bodybuilding at the time, but more strength. At the time, it was kind of how much weight can you lift over your head. And he couldn't afford weights, and there was no gym, so he got a pipe, and he got cinder blocks, and he created his own kind of makeshift, you know, dumbbell, barbell set, and that's where he'd work out. 1942, he put out his first newsletter called Your Physique, and he actually gave me a copy of that original run with a very nice note, you know, signed by him. But he's totally self-made. He came from that. On the back page was an ad for a health tonic vitamin supplement. I cannot express how lucky I am to have had that relationship. So we all need a mentor, and I strive to be that for people. I don't delude myself into thinking I have that kind of wisdom, but I think that I have a lot of life experience that I can share with other people. But I only want to share with people who are willing to receive and willing to act. I don't like to share it just for the sake of sharing it. I don't want to tell stories of people go, that was a great story. I want to tell stories with lessons. I want people to remember what I told them. I want them to think back and run into me one day and go, you remember the thing you told me? Let me tell you how that changed my life. We all need a mentor. And I think it's important to select your mentor. That doesn't mean going to a seminar. I'm not saying don't go to the seminar. But if you go to a Brian Tracy seminar, you can't tell me Brian Tracy's your mentor. I'm talking about somebody who has a personal vested interest in teaching you from their own experience. Does it have to be someone famous? Of course not. Do they have to be a certain age? No. Do they have to live in your neighborhood? No. Can they? Yes. Does it have to be somebody in the fitness field? No. Somebody who wants to teach you from their life experience, somebody who has wisdom to impart. I told you about this woman who I try to help. At times I do, and then I back away and there's a backslide. And I'll tell you this. She's on my mind because she's in a fall right now. My heart wants to help her. My brain does not. Look, I'm an altruist. I care about people just as you do. Started to be better out of caring for trainers. I used to consult with health club owners. The day came that I realized I don't even like these guys. I like the trainers. That's what Be Better grew out of. So when somebody close to me is struggling, I want to help. I want to help. My heart wants to help. My brain is saying, Phil, don't do it. Don't do it because the more that she undoes everything that I help her create, the less inclined I am to coach her back. When you lift somebody up and you go, okay, here you are, you're lifted, and you walk away and they fall, you come back and lift them up. And if every time you walk away they fall, sooner or later you go, I can't help you. Now I know myself. I'm going to help her. But I'm sharing with you my frustration because I see somebody with immense potential and ability and true gifts being crushed by the monster that we call negative talk. So I'm telling you now, days before the new year, that your assignment, if you really want to bring about a thrilling change for you, for your family, for the people you love, then bring these five people into your life. A connector, a committed listener, a catalyst, an accountability partner, and a mentor. And I promise you, things will start to happen. Any thoughts, comments, questions at all?
Phil, do you sit down with someone and go like, hey, I need to find one of these five people. Will you be one of them? Who do you think
No.
you are?
No, this is not like we're recruiting for a multi-level marketing thing.
Right.
I think your mentor has to be somebody you admire and look up to. So I think you start there. You know, who do I admire and look up to? It may be somebody in your community. And then they start with phone calls. I think that's how you initiate these is you make phone calls. You know, having had a radio show for many years, I was able to get pretty much anybody I wanted as a guest. If they were promoting a book, I'd get them as a guest. If they were a professional athlete and it was leading up to the season, I'd get them as a guest. And what I learned is they're people, and if I call them, I can talk to them. So I think most people won't make the call because they don't think it's possible. And sometimes you got to get past the gatekeeper. But I think these are people who you reach out to. And if you don't have their number, then you find it. You go on the internet, you look them up, you call some number, and you find out how you get a hold of their agent, you speak to their agent. I'm just telling you they exist. It could be somebody you know very well. It could be somebody you see every day. It can be somebody you never met but you admire. So, Tasso, there's no formula how to get them. I'm just telling you, find them. Find these people. And by the way, over time, they may change. Your mentor may become somebody different. You know, your accountability partner may become somebody different. But as we head into 2016, find the connector. So, no, I don't think that you go, hey, look, I'm looking for a connector. I'm choosing you. It's not that. It's just finding somebody that you know has a voice of positivity and knows a lot of people. And you go, let's go to breakfast. Yeah, so why do you want to go to breakfast? I don't know. I'm hungry and I'd like to go to breakfast. You willing to go? Yeah.
Well, I know the mentors I've had through the years in my business and stuff have been largely because, you know, the old adage that Brian Tracy teaches, take a rich person to lunch or dinner and buy and you'll be amazed at things you find, and then you find someone you're really connected with. And, you know, the mentor's not a problem for me, I don't believe, but I have another question. Like your catalyst or your committed listener, do they have to be people that are sort of the same mind? Like, because when you were going through that, the committed listener, I was thinking of one person in particular, and I said, man, this person's perfect to do this for me. However, our political views and our religious views, and those are dramatically different. And that's probably why she is so willing to engage me and calling me out on stuff and holding the mirror up. Do they have to be of the same political? I mean, I benefit a lot when I talk to her, but do they have to be of the same mindset in that regard? You know, same value system in that?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. But I don't think if I'm giving a speech to the Democratic candidates, if they would choose a Republican, you know, to be the committed listener. So you don't want to be polarized. But no, you don't have to have the same views. They have to listen to you and go, do you see what you're saying? Do you hear what you just said? You know, one of the things that always happened to me in like week 4 of the Alive program when I'm doing a live group is it's always, there's a woman in the group who goes, I'm not losing weight, I only lost 3 pounds. I mean, it makes me laugh how often I hear that. I'm not losing weight, I'm only down 1.5 pounds. You know, I'm not losing weight, I just lost 4 pounds. And I have to play it back. I go, wait, I want you to say what you said. I want you to say it slowly because they don't realize it doesn't make sense. So if you are, in fact, incongruent, and you don't realize you are because you do have that empathetic trait, and you are being affected by voices in your life, you need somebody who will listen enough to call you out. It doesn't mean the listener is not telling you what to do. That's why I said you need somebody else. You need somebody who is a catalyst. The listener is holding up the mirror, going, Tasso. You keep saying you want to have a new facility, but you keep operating out of your existing one. What are you going to do to change it? That's what they have to do. The catalyst is the one who's going to drive you to do it. So, no, you don't have to have the same views on everything, but you should be somehow like-minded so you can have a friendly relationship, not where everything you say becomes a debate. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, I didn't say this would be easy. I'm just telling you it's important. I think most people would not be willing to do what I just said. Most people would not be willing to bring these 5 people into their life. Why? They'll find 100 reasons why. They're not interested. They're busy. They have their own stuff to take care of. Nobody will understand me. Everybody will be very good at coming up with reasons why not, but that's negative talk. So it is the rare few who will actually go ahead and do this. But I'm telling you, my life would be very different if I didn't have these 5 people in my life. And I also realize that, you know, I'm thankful as well that I've had the opportunity to really help a lot of people in very different ways. I love that I could look at this and go, I was that for them. I was the catalyst for this person. So sometimes you could be that for other people. But I think it's important that you bring it into your own life. You know, as empaths, we tend to give more than we receive, and I'm asking you to receive. I'm asking you to receive the wisdom and advice and positivity of other people and be selective in who you surround yourself with. Anyone else? Thoughts, comments, questions about anything?
I have a question.
Okay.
What's your thought on having your spouse be one of those people? I just got on the call just about 15 minutes ago, but
I'm trying to answer this the right way, because really what you're asking me is, should your spouse, right? You're not saying generally, you're asking me for you, right?
Absolutely.
So I want to be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if your spouse is one of these things already, then you check it off your list.
Okay.
In other words, if your spouse is someone who says to you, and I don't think I ever met your wife, did I, Tony? She
no.
never came to any of our events or anything.
Not
so
yet, at least.
If your wife is somebody who will go, Tony, do you see what you're saying? You're saying you don't want to stress over this crazy thing with your former partner, but all you keep doing is sitting down focusing on it. Do you see that? If she is that person, then you check it off the list. You go, I got that. I got that person.
Right.
If she is the person who goes, come on, you want a bigger studio? Go out tomorrow, and I want you to start looking. Then she's the catalyst. So I think if she's already it, great. But I don't think you want to try to put her there. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's either already happening, or then the answer is no, it shouldn't be your spouse.
Right.
Because when you're with somebody for years, you create relationship patterns, and they're hard to break.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's already that, that's fantastic. You just go, I got this one already. But if she's not, then I don't think you try to make her that. Does that answer your question? Make sense?
That answered my question perfectly. And it's okay if that person, because who she is well, the committed listener is the one who holds the mirror up to you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And it's okay if they do that and you get a little irked by it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to get irked by it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely going to get irked by it.
Yeah.
But all you right. still need somebody to hold up the mirror.
No doubt.
You're annoyed that somebody is pointing out a limitation. That's why you get irked, right?
Yep.
But here's the thing. If they don't point out the limitation, it limits you.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. I receive it.
All right, guys, this content really meant a lot to me. I hope you're receiving it. I often feel this. You know, I hang up the phone and I go, I hope they received it the way it was intended. But I believe that there are some things that I share with you that are important. There are some things I share with you that are powerful. This is powerful. When I look at successful people and I look at the voices that are in their head, how do you look at the voices that are in their head? You look at who they surround themselves with. Because that becomes the voices in your head. Now, granted, your mindset attracts you to the people it attracts you to. I spoke about this woman who's attracted to needy people. So it may start with a mindset that in itself is limited, but it draws in these people who cripple her further. And you've got to interrupt that and go, I'm not going to be that anymore. I've got to force myself out of that mindset by bringing in different voices. So I'm hoping that you guys will not only take this seriously, but do it, because I think it will initiate tremendous change. So until we speak again, everybody, enjoy the rest of your holidays. Have a very Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate. Let's have a great entry into 2016. And between now and our next call, find some, if not all, of these five people. And let's see what we can do in the year ahead. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Enjoy some.